The word of God that was read in our hearing in Ephesians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul stating to the church at Ephesus, be very careful then, he said, verse 15, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity. In the King James Version, it says, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of God is. I understand that in Kensington Gardens in England, a beautiful garden, there is a time clock, a clock that is a floral clock, a large circular clock with hands on the clock that are all covered with flowers. And there is an indication as to north and south and east and west, and the time, the hands on the clock work to give us the accurate time, even with that beautiful floral arrangement. And at the bottom, in another floral arrangement, is the expression, time flies, time flies. Last night, we had an extra hour of sleep. Therefore, there isn't any reason, except for our young people, for anyone to be dozing this morning. I have not put my clock back because I'm saving that hour for another time. And I'll let you know when it is, the first time I'm late. But be that as it may, we are very thankful to have opportunity to live in time. And when we speak about time, we realize that it's a very important part of our lives. We ask ourselves, well, what is time? And there have been many, many understandings of what time is. Time is the period during which an action continues. Another definition from dictionary says that time is a section out of the great circle of eternity. My wife gave to me a definition of time that I think is better. Time, created by God as the framework in which he placed his created beings, poured out his love upon them, and gives them opportunity to respond to that love. When his purposes are brought to fulfillment, time will be no more. Time will be no more. We all wish that we had more time. We all wish somehow, with things that are changing so drastically, that somehow we could recall the old days. And one of the favorite things for old fellows like myself is to sit down with some old friends and talk about the good old days. And when people come along and ask us what we used to talk about when we were younger, we used to talk about the good old days. And we talk about those days, and we see the changes are so, so dramatic in my life and in the lives of most of us that we wish somehow we could extricate ourselves from it and just step back and see life as it used to be, or see things that are stationary that have been created and have been placed there, and time doesn't change it. There's a dear lady that phones me quite regularly. She's 95 years old, so there's no danger of any flirtation on her part or mine. But she calls me from Victoria. She lives on a private farm, and she lives alone. She's a dear soul, and it was my privilege years and years ago to baptize her. And she doesn't forget that experience, nor does she forget us. And she phones us on any occasion. And when I talk to her, I enjoy talking to her because I can see where she is. She's on a beautiful farm where there are cattle, and it's a very pastoral scene, and I rather imagine I'm sitting in her kitchen, talking to her in the kitchen, looking out the window at the birds and the flowers, and allow myself to think I'm back in Victoria. So I talk to her at some length, thinking I'm right there, and in my mind's eye, I'm talking to her in a chair across from her in her kitchen. But we would love to go back, but we can't go back, and we really don't want to go back. When we ask ourselves the question, what is time? We have these definitions, but we have ourselves a very real perception of time. Man generally has given to himself a clear perception of what time is, and the characteristics of his perception are that, number one, time is endless. For young people, time is endless. It goes on and on, and when we think about things such as death, or think about things when you get to be an old age pensioner, they think, wow, that really is ancient. And time is endless. It just goes on and on and on and on without ending. The psalmist said in Psalm 89, verse 48, what man is he that liveth and shall not see death? Who is it that thinks that time really is endless and there is no death for us to ever consider? Not only is time endless, but for man and his perception, time is relatively valueless. Oh, it's very valuable if you're taking your car to City Buick Cadillac and you have to have it repaired and they ask for $115 an hour for labor. It's pretty expensive time. If you go to a lawyer and he wants $200 an hour, it's expensive time. It's very valuable time. But we see time as something that is relatively valueless. Sometimes we are exercised in activities that we are putting in time. We're just waiting, putting in time, and can hardly wait for it to pass. I can recall when I was a boy and really anxious to get a new day started, that I would wake up at night and wonder when the sun was going to shine. Knew that it would because it always has. It's never failed shining, but wondering when it would happen. And I could never really cause time to go any more quickly. Time seemed to be relatively valueless. Time is only as valuable as what we accomplish in it. And another thing about time that man perceives is that it's relatively monotonous. I don't know how many things you do that are the same every day, but I'm sure that a number of you get up at the same time every weekday morning and take the same route to work and maybe the same means of transportation. And you get to work and you do your thing and you finish school, whatever you're doing. And there's a routine in our day. And things become rather monotonous. And people say in the workplace, TGIF, thank goodness it's Friday. Thank goodness it's Friday. And the routine and the monotony of the routine, even though we don't call it monotonous, it becomes rather monotonous. But then we ask ourselves, what is God's perception of time? We see time as being endless, valueless, monotonous. But God sees it differently. And God has given to us the gift of time. And his perception of time is that it's brief. It's not endless. It's brief. Job said in his response to God's punishment and all that was transpiring, he said, my days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle. Just that fast. And we read in Psalm 34 and verse 39 and verse 5 that our lives are like a handbreadth, just a little more in my situation than an octave. Just that much relative to the whole of life. And we read in James that it's like a mist. We were told this morning on the radio that we should turn the lights on our car until 10 o'clock in the morning. And life is like the mist that vanishes when the sun begins to shine. It's like a bubble that breaks. And in the Psalm 103, we read that as for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For in the morning it groweth up and it flowers. In the evening it is cut down and it withers, and the place thereof doesn't know it anymore. The grass is cut. And our lives are just that short. We don't like to think of that, but that's what God says. That's his appraisal of time. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8, we read, with the word of the Lord, with the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years. That's an interesting equation. If a day, 24 hours in God's economy, is like 1,000 years, if you live to be 100, you live to be 100 years old, how many hours would that be in God's wise economy? Well, it would be 2.4 hours. You say, well, wait a minute, time is relatively short, I know. But my life, if I live to be 100, and we just heard that Chiang Kai-shek's wife, Madam Chiang Kai-shek, died in Taiwan the other day at 105. Wonderful, godly woman. She went home to heaven. 105, that's a little unusual. If we live to be 100, in God's wise economy, that's 2.4 hours. And if you're already 50 years old, that's 1 hour and one-fifth, 12 minutes. 1 hour and 12 minutes. And I say to myself, what would I do if I had 2 hours and a half to live? What would I do in the 2 hours and a half? I don't ever consider my life to be like that. But in God's equation, he said, our lives are like a 24-hour period. Therefore, if we live to be 100, we have 2.4 hours. We don't have very much time. It was Raphael, the great Italian artist, who died when he was 37 years of age. And he was in the midst of painting a magnificent portrait of the transfiguration of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was half finished. When he died, there was great mourning. There was a parade. And they carried this half-finished portrait of the transfiguration at the head of that funeral procession, indicating life is short. Life is short. Life doesn't allow us to finish the work that we desire to have. And God says to us, remember, time flies and time is short. God also says to us that in his understanding of time, that time is valuable. Brevity doesn't diminish the value. We don't go by size. When we look at a little diamond that goes on a ring that's on a lady's finger, and you give it, as I did to my betrothed when I was engaged, gave her a ring that cost me a great deal. It was very valuable. As a matter of fact, I was told that it should represent 2 months' wages. And 2 months' wages for a pastor in those days wasn't very much. But it was valuable. It was valuable. And she had it in a little setting on her fourth finger of her left hand. And this was valuable because it was an indication that we were betrothed, we were to be married, we were engaged, and the diamond was small. I suggest to you that time is the place and the duration in which we determine our destiny and our eternity. It's in the moments of time, short as they are, that God gives us opportunity to determine our destiny. The thief on the cross didn't have very much time to live, but he had a moment. And the Spirit of God placed upon his heart a conviction of his wrongdoing. And he saw the one on the central cross and realized this was the one who is dying, not because of his sin, but for the sin of the world. And he cried out to the Lord Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And the Lord Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. And that moment of time determined the destiny of that thief. He wasn't to spend eternity apart from God. He was to spend eternity in the presence of Jesus Christ. Now, we don't rely upon deathbed conversions, but that's one of the wonderful indications to me, and it's an exception. It's the only person I read about in the New Testament who believed and was not baptized. But if he could have been baptized, I think he would have been so, to acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And as well, we recognize that in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, the apostle said, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And I thank God for that moment in time when I was a boy, when my mother who had prayed for me and my father who had prayed for me, that I would come to know the Savior when I was a boy. And what a privilege these children have to hear of the Lord Jesus while they're children, not only to know him to be their Savior, but to see their lives being formed and determined for what they're going to be in the future while they're still young. I say to you that when I was a boy, my parents prayed for me, and God's Holy Spirit answered their prayers. I was convicted of sin as a little boy and asked God's forgiveness and invited Jesus Christ to come into my heart. And when I did that, my father said to me, son, that's the biggest thing you'll ever do in all your life. And some people don't hear of the Lord Jesus until they're mature. There are people in the world that have never heard of him. But this is the determining factor in a person's destiny. Our eternity is determined by our decision in regard to Jesus Christ in moments of time. And we cannot flirt with time. Procrastination is the thief of time. And if God says, this is the day, this is the opportunity, Consider it to be a divine appointment that God is saying to you, here is my son, Jesus Christ. What will you do with him? And may your response be in the moment of time as though you never had another moment in your life. Oh God, I repent of my sin and I take your son to be my savior. Much I don't understand, but help, I believe, help mine unbelief, and I take Jesus Christ to be my savior. And that is the determining decision for a man's or a woman's or a young person's destiny. It's said that in the great cathedral in Milan in Italy, there are three doors. There is the east door that has over it inscribed in stone a wreath of roses, and underneath that wreath of roses it says, all that pleases is but for a moment. And over the west door is a cross. And at that cross, beneath in the inscription in stone, all that which brings sorrow and trouble is but for a moment. And over the great central door of the Milan Cathedral, I understand, is inscribed in stone, that only is important which is eternal. And we make eternal decisions when we invite Jesus Christ to come into our hearts. And I believe that with all of my heart, with all of my soul, with all of my mind and all of my strength, because God said it. God said it. That this is the moment of salvation. What will you do with Jesus Christ? And then, before we conclude, I would have you recognize what are the qualities, the genuine qualities of time, as we understand it from God's Word, as we have a new appreciation of it. Not that it's useless, not that it's endless, not that it's monotonous, but rather that it's precious as a diamond or as a pearl of great price. It's short. It's short. I've already reflected on that. A great predecessor, a wonderful man in Victoria, who lived in the city after Jeannie and I became pastor of the church, and we had fellowship with he and his wife, Dr. J.B. Roll. Dr. Roll used to speak to people, used to preach, and he was old. He was almost as old as I am now. But I looked on him as a young pastor, 33 years of age, and I thought, well, will I ever get that old? But he used to go around to people, and not in some strange boldness, not in some way where he was invading their privacy, but he would go to people and say, only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what is done for Christ will last. And I say to you, he was right. And time is passing. Every tick of the clock is one less from the circle of the whole. And it's uncertain. God gives it to us one moment at a time. We can't count on the rest of the day. You've heard that before. And we recognize that time is very short. And with Raphael, there are a lot of things that we will never finish that we intend to do. I would like to write a few books. I don't know whether I'll ever get to put a pen in my hand or learn how to type to do it. But I'd like to write a few books. I know no one will read them, but I'd still like to write them. And time is irretrievable. I can't bring back what I just said. We could say, please give me back, give me back. I want more of this that has been taken from me. I've got to have it back. But it's irretrievable. We can't get it back. There's a writer in the Detroit Free Press. His name is Mitch Albom. He's a great writer. And Mitch Albom, at the end of the year last year in his column, he said, how we wasted our time in 2002. And then he said, all I want for Christmas is my time back. Just give me my time back. I want to relive it. But there isn't any such thing, Mitch. You don't get a moment back. You don't get anything back. The time is irretrievable, and the things that we've said and the things that we've done, we can't get back. My mother used to say to me when I was a boy and coming in too late, she would say, you'll never, ever get the time back when you should have been sleeping. And I wondered what really would happen to me. I couldn't understand what the consequence was going to be for my missing an hour's sleep, but she laid a heavy on me. I thought it was gone forever and I would never be the same kind of man because I missed an hour of sleep. Mother was wise. Mother was wise. Why is it so important to make the best use of time? The apostle said, redeem the time. Redeem the opportunities, because the days are evil. The days of are evil. Make the most of every opportunity that we have. And this becomes the conclusion, because the days are evil. The days of the apostle were evil days. Man was depraved, totally depraved. He was capable of sin, and the sin of which he was capable was any sin you want to mention. Man has always been sinful from the time of Adam. He is born in sin. David said, in sin did my mother conceive me. So in conception, we were born with a bent towards sinning, and that doesn't mean that we were hell-bound when we were born. It means that we had a bias toward doing wrong. We don't have to teach our children to do wrong. They'll do that themselves. They have an old nature that enables them to do the wrong thing, to have the wrong attitude, to show indications that they are not perfect. Not perfect. And I can assure you I live with grandchildren. Wonderful, wonderful grandchildren. But those children are not perfect, even though they're like their grandmother. The days are evil. I was reading the article by Chuck Colson, and Chuck Colson is one of the finest Christians of our generation. I liken him sometimes to the Apostle Paul of this generation. He wrote an article in the current issue of Christianity Today, and I was reading it on Friday. And I can't read the whole article. But Chuck Colson was talking about same-sex marriages, about the morality of our Western world, of our whole world, as being so depraved. And he referred to Canada and the leadership of Canada, our outgoing prime minister, and the Canadian judicial system that is now giving permission for people of the same sex to marry. And he said this, Christians are sowing cultural confusion in an experiment no culture in history has dared to attempt, and which no culture can survive. And that's the way we're going. Our culture is so changed. I don't mind if these people call themselves, I wrote down a word, contractually inseparable. But marriage, and I don't want to get off on a tangent, but marriage is a God-given relationship with a man and a woman with the ability, with the desire to reproduce. And there isn't any such thing in these same-sex marriages. I won't say any more, but today everything around us seems to tend to corrupt and mislead, so that it is a difficult day even for Christian people. It's not an easy day. And the application of Paul, the days are evil, applies to our day, and sin is more overt, more open, more acceptable than it's ever been. I suggest to you, you don't watch your television sets on Friday and Saturday nights. I am absolutely appalled with what we're allowing to happen. And Christians are taking this as though it's happening and we can't do much about it. But I pray that God would help us to redeem the time. Redeem the time. The days are evil. It's true internationally when we speak about terrorism. It's true even among Christians. We find that believers, many are the afflictions of the righteous. There are so many afflictions in this day in which we live. We never know how long we're going to live with the dread diseases we have. There were a group of astrophysicists that gathered in the United States recently, and their conclusion at the end of their conference was that we're living in time at 2 minutes to 12 midnight. And they were not Christian. They were astrophysicists that believed that things were folding up and coming and winding down. The time will be no more. 2 minutes to 12. What do you do with 2 minutes? But we're told to redeem the time. That means to buy it back. But I said to you, it's irretrievable. You can't buy it back. I confess to wasted time. I think I've had a lot of wasted time. I'd hate to be accountable for all of the time that God has given to me, but I am. And I say to you, we can't buy it back. But it's true, even though it's not possible for us to buy it back, even though my mother said to me that I can't recover the wasted time, it's true that God, in his graciousness, in his mercy to each of us, in our repentance, will do as Joel said to us in chapter 2, verse 26, that the Lord will restore the years that the locusts have eaten. He will make up time. He will help us in his graciousness to live the moments that we have in a manner that is pleasing to him, so that we will finish the course well. And we will finish in the faith. And we will finish as victors in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul wasted a lot of time. He was 30 years old or more when he found Christ. And he looked back on that time, and then he went into Arabia for 3 years with the Old Testament scriptures, 3 years. And people must have said, where is that new Christian that has gone into Arabia? Where did he go? Where has he been? He came out with 13 New Testament epistles. He came out with the theology of the New Testament. God used the time, even in Arabia, when he was on his own before God. And God will give us time that we hardly know, as we trust him for it and repent of our wasted time. A dear lady in Victoria that I learned to appreciate very much in her latter years had the experience of, I was looking at my clock, my watch, and I haven't turned it back, and I said, good night, I've got these people here at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And they're listening to me more attentively than I thought they were. But I'll only take another minute, dear friends. And I'll just suggest to you, I won't tell you the story about the lady in Victoria. I'll tell you again, but God gave her extra time, even after a long delinquent life. We're told to save what is left. Understand what the will of God is. We go to the marketplace and we want to buy the best. I like going to the market. Some people don't like going to the market. I like to get into the cheese counter, and I look for cheese. I look for Stilton cheese. I look for Oka cheese so I can say no thanks. I look at Limburger cheese so I can say no thanks. I look for cheddar, and I look at these things, and I buy. And I sometimes buy more than I should. But I like to look at all the cheeses. We're to look in the marketplace of time and use our time wisely. Will you say, what do we do with it? Beware of the busyness of life. The busyness. There's a barrenness in busyness. And it isn't wrong for us to give time to God and to come apart. And as we read in the scriptures, apart into a desert place and rest a while. That's what the Lord Jesus did. We need to make time for him. And if God said to me, you have an hour and 10 minutes left, I wouldn't be rushing around trying to get the paintings and whatever else I have and say, now kids, these are yours, and just live a good life. I'd spend time with God because I would be meeting him in an hour and a quarter, and I'd like to know that I can go into his presence and spend time with him. If I had an hour and a quarter to live, I would not only spend time with God, but I would take time to communicate with God's people. I would have the family of believers somehow know that I'm praying and will be in heaven, and I thank God for their fellowship that's been so enriching. That's a part of good use of time. We need each other. Don't ever think that going to church is a waste of time. It's God-given wisdom. The scriptures say, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is. Gather together. Pray together. Pray together. I wonder, do you pray with a body of people? I do that in the hour and a quarter that I had. And then I would recognize that I need to be caught up in my obedience. Are there some things that God has said to me that I need to have righted? Are there people that I haven't been right with? Get in touch with them. Seek forgiveness and seek reconciliation. The time is far too short. Far too short. Take time to cultivate people and to let people know, are you ready to come to heaven? I'm going in an hour and a quarter. Are you ready to meet the Lord? Are you ready to meet the Lord? And I would take time for God's servants, missionaries. And I would say, Lord, teach me to number my moments. Teach me to number my moments. Number my days. Lord, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. May the Lord Jesus help us, not with just the hour we got last night, but with all of our hours and all of our moments and all of our relationships, realizing it's precious, it's short, it's irretrievable, we're accountable, it's a gift, and God gives it to us. And Jesus Christ, is the theme of our lives, and in him we live, move, and have our being. Let us pray. Father, we seek forgiveness for the waste of time. Pray that you'd forgive me. Seek forgiveness, our Father, for the activities that have not been honoring to you. Seek forgiveness for our prayerlessness. Seek forgiveness for our not finding ourselves in your word, reading and studying and meditating and memorizing and distributing. And pray to help us, O God, that we may be wise people in the marketplace in the use of time. Help us to value the association in our local church, the body of believers that you've given to us under divine direction. Help us not to take it lightly. Help us to assume our responsibility together in a community where you've placed us. And may Jesus Christ be praised. Father, may we live as though we have less than an hour and a quarter. And may our Savior even come into the hearts of some today who know him not. For in Jesus' name we pray it. Amen.